grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this evening, this Ash Wednesday of the year 2024, is the lesson I read for you just a moment ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Tonight also we begin a new series of sermons, as we did in the season of Advent. This season in Lent, we are going to be talking about the collects of Lent, or the prayers of the day that are appointed for each Sunday in Lent. So tonight we talk about the first Sunday in Lent, which is this coming Sunday, and the collect appointed for that day. And I would have you turn in your worship bulletin to the back page, and we'll pray together the words of that collect. Would you pray together with me? O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now we know that the Lord delivered his people out of slavery in the land of Egypt with great signs and wonders. That's how the Bible puts it. He delivered them with plagues upon the gods of Egypt to see who's the real God, all of these various animal-headed creatures, or the God of Israel. And like that, the Lord delivered you and me from the penalties of our sin by the shed blood of his cross. And not only that, the Lord proclaimed his victory over Satan, the false god of this age. He proclaimed his victory when Jesus descended into hell and there proclaimed it to Satan and all who belonged to him. Not only that, the Lord delivered his people by letting them pass through the waters of the Red Sea. And St. Paul reminds us that that's just an Old Testament picture of what God would do later in holy baptism. St. Paul says that this is like Christian baptism. And not only that, we read that the Lord fed his people with miraculous food, with manna, bread from God, and with water from a dry rock. It's a picture, St. Paul says, not of baptism, but of Holy Communion, the true body and blood of Jesus miraculously present with us now, every time we have Holy Communion, given and shed for your forgiveness, to strengthen you, to place your eyes upon Jesus, to place your heart upon Jesus, to find your hope in the Lord Jesus. And so we say, looking at our Bible and looking today, the Lord saved his people in ancient times from slavery in Egypt. He saved them from slavery in Egypt, but he saved them to go into the promised land. And so also for us. We're delivered from our sin by Jesus, and we go into the promised land. But there's a piece missing in all of that. What is the piece that is missing? Saved in Jesus, entering the promised land. Delivered from Egypt, going into the promised land. What's missing? There's something in between the two of them. And what's in between the two of them is a desert. Now, we sang about it in our opening hymn for tonight. We said in our words, or we sang in our words, I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. Our opening hymn. Interesting bit of history with it. The composer of that hymn, the fellow who wrote the tune, the music for the hymn, was a man by the name of Arthur Sullivan. You perhaps have heard of Gilbert and Sullivan, and he was a fellow who was part of a team who wrote what they called operettas at the end of the Victorian era, the Pirates of Penzance, and what are the other ones? I'm trying to remember, if anybody does. What, I heard somebody.
HMS
Pinafore, thanks Tom, okay, very good. All right, so this is Arthur Sullivan wrote the music, a famous gentleman. But the words did not come from a famous person. They came from someplace else. They came from a person who was speaking very simply and plainly and directly to the people of God. And they're words that are so simple and plain and direct that they almost sound like the words of an elderly Christian person. Somebody who's had long years together with the Lord. Somebody who has seen many things happen in their life and battled with many things, battled with many follies of this world. Somebody who has seen long years of waiting on the Lord, but then seeing his faithfulness. Someone who has wished for peace but never seemed to get it in this life. Someone who, like Jeremiah 48 says, was just poured from one vessel into another. An elderly believer. Someone who has been through the struggle and the fight of the faith. Except that it isn't true. Now, the struggle and fight of the faith are true. But these words were not written by an elderly believer. They were written by probably the youngest of the hymn writers in all of our hymn book, a young man by the name of Thomas Taylor, who was studying to be a pastor, and he finally got his first church, and he served there less than a year, and then ill health forced him to resign. And it wasn't long after that that he died of tuberculosis at the age of 28. 28 years old. Of course, back then they don't have all the treatments in the early 1800s, but died of tuberculosis at age 28. And if you understand that, then you can sort of understand the words that he wrote. He said, "What though the tempest rage, heaven is my home. Short is my pilgrimage, heaven is my home. And time's wild wintry blast soon shall be over, past. I shall reach home at last, heaven is my home." It doesn't sound like a 28-year-old, does it? But this is someone who's been through things, and ultimately he did reach home. Which is a good thing because so many people don't. They go through the wilderness and they lose their way, like the Israelites in tonight's lesson. The Israelites, we are told, wandered throughout the desert for 40 years and eventually they were, the word is, overthrown. They all saw God's deliverance from Egypt. We've all seen God's deliverance on his cross. They all had holy baptism, the Old Testament version of it. We all have been baptized, or at least I hope everybody has. They had the Old Testament version of Holy Communion, the spiritual food. We have the same thing as well, too. Nevertheless, with most of them, it says, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us so that we might not desire evil like they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. We must not grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. between the deliverance from sin and everlasting life, there is a desert, there is a wilderness. And the wilderness can have a funny effect on a person, a strange effect. It can get you to a place where you end up with false hopes and false wishes and immoral conduct. I'm just quoting what he says here. Immoral conduct, demanding answers from the Lord, grumbling against the Lord, thinking that the life of unbelieving people is so much better, and that can happen so much that ultimately a person never enters the promised land. The wilderness can have that effect on you. Or it can turn your eyes to the Lord. Not from the Lord, but to the Lord. And instead of losing your faith in the midst of the storm and in the midst of this desert, the wilderness, you find it. Like Thomas Taylor, "Therefore," he said, "I murmur not." What did the Israelites do throughout the wilderness wandering? We're told over and over again, what did they do? They murmured against the Lord, murmured against Moses, murmured against Aaron. They didn't like the water, they didn't like the food, they didn't like where they were going. And instead, this gentleman says, "No, therefore I murmur not. Heaven is my home. Whate'er my earthly lot, heaven is my home. And I shall surely stand there at my Lord's right hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home." And that's something a Christian person prays for. We don't want to fall by the wayside. We don't want to go off in some other direction. So many people do. Instead, we want to be with the Lord. We want to stay with the Lord. We want to hold on to the Lord. And we want God to hold on to us. And that's why we pray. Oh, Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness, and you brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that, following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.